Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly shares about relationships in our new series, Couples Therapy.
Why don't you guys welcome my wife to the stage? I'm so happy she's here.
Thank you.
She's joining me today because the topic we're going to talk about today, it takes two people to tackle. It's pretty important. In fact, the topic we're going to talk about today, actually, you have to have two people to even have this problem. If you are single today, you do not have the problems we're talking about today. Most of you, even if you're just dating, you do not have the problems we're talking about today. Today is a problem that is pretty specific to a married couple. But if you're here today and you're not married, and you ever want to be married, listen, because you can go ahead and learn some lessons the easy way. I know we don't like to learn lessons the easy way, right? We think we're smarter than everybody else, but I'm just telling you, let's learn some lessons the easy way so you don't have to go through them and learn them the hard way. I'm just saying, it's a pretty good idea. So if today's your first week, you haven't been here, let me quickly kind of explain what we're doing here in this series, Couples Therapy. We've kind of been talking about for the last couple of weeks about how we all need therapy because we're all jacked up, right? We all need help. It's okay. You can acknowledge that. Do you want to say something?
No, yeah. We're just saying we're jacked up too, so we understand. We work on it.
She's worse than me.
Actually, that's very true.
Oh, I was joking.
No, it's true.
I was joking. But here's why we're jacked. Couples therapy. Therapy simply means treatment intended to help heal a disorder, right? That's all it is. And for this entire series, we've been talking about the fact that we have an order disorder, right? We were all born with an order disorder, which means we don't know how to properly align the different things in our life. And as we learned week one, God's design for us is that we have God first, that he's the number one priority in life, which we talked about week one. We got to reverse the curse. We got to put God first. We got to make him the number one priority in our life. We have to make him the place we go to for peace and security and satisfaction. See, a lot of the reasons our relationships don't work is because we mix these up. We try to put others above God. And we try to get other people to play a role only God can play. We try to find someone who's going to complete us. Someone who's going to make us happy. Someone who's going to give us meaning and purpose and blah, 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 blah. And they can't, right? And it's not because they're bad people. It's just because they're bad gods. Because there's only one God. And so if we ever want to get our relationships right with other people, the first step is to get our relationship right with God. So we have to put God first. And then after that, because we get everything we need from God, we can value other people more than we value ourselves because God's going to take care of us, right? So we put God other second, and then we're last. And we've really been focusing on the other second and me last over the last 2 weeks, right? We've been talking about you and your spouse, you and your married couple, and we've really been talking about the idea that we need to hear from Jesus. We need to receive love from Jesus, right? Because if God's our number one priority, then we get our love from God and love from Jesus. And then we need to give that love to each other. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about what it means to receive love from God and to give it to each other. We've talked about how that love is forever. That's a covenant kind of love. And that's the kind of agreement we need to make with our partner, kind of a I'm in this forever. And the last week, we talked about how that's a sacrificial love. We talked about how it's a love where we are called to submit. You know, everybody's favorite word, submit. And it freaked everybody out until I explained to you last week, if you're here today and you're in love and you're married, at one point in your relationship, you did submit to each other. You did, because you dated. And when you were dating, you put the other person first, and you sought to please them, and you tried to figure out what they were going to like, and you watched what they wanted to watch, and you listened to what they wanted to listen to, and you didn't interrupt them, and you didn't correct them in front of other people, and you didn't make fun of them, and you didn't do all the things you do now because you're married. You didn't. You treated each other with kindness and respect. You treated each other like they were the most important person in the room. And so I challenge you to begin doing that. And last week I actually challenged you to try to date each other. And what I'm hoping is that many of you, because you actually love Jesus, you tried to do what we talked about. And maybe you did try to love each other and you tried to serve each other. And my guess is if you did that, you probably discovered that it was more difficult than you remember it being. And you're like, man, I don't understand, man. Trey was talking and it made perfect sense and I thought it was gonna work, but I've been trying to date her and I've been trying to be nice but I'm busy and things keep getting in the way and it's harder than it used to be. And if that's you, congratulations, you're normal. Because that's what hopefully we all, even if you tried, that's probably what you experienced. And there's a really good reason why. because it's more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting, you know, I sit front row both hours, listen to my husband. I know what he's going to talk about. I still learn so much. And this week, it was literally like, okay, I'm going to make sure I make the time for him to feel special. And to we do make that a priority. But every single person in our house was sick this week.
Yep.
Multiple times, still this yep. morning. Nothing lined up. We had very little margin anyway. We're in a very busy season because of that awesome place to call home that we're working on. And so that margin was just, and I just want you to know that everybody feels that way. You're trying to do what you used to do, and you're doing it better, and it's different than whenever you first met. Even if you, like for us, we were in college, and we didn't have any
jobs.
Responsibilities. I was in grad school. We didn't have any money, but
we didn't have kids.
We didn't have kids, but you know what we had a ton of? It was time. Time for each other and time to think about each other, and oh, I miss that sometimes. So, we
anybody want some kids?
No. We understand that, and I know how difficult it can be between swimming lessons and practice and work and friends and all la la la. I could go on and on and on. But what we want to talk about today is that even if it's difficult, it is crucial. It is so important. Even though you don't feel like you can, God says you can. Not only does he, you know, he says you can, but it needs to be a priority. So, you know, Trey's been talking the last couple of weeks about how we get our order right, things kind of fall in place. But today, we kind of wanted to talk about some of the outside forces, like sick kids and piles of laundry and no sleeping, that get into, you know, get in the way of dating each other and keeping each other first.
Right. Most of you in the room, most of us included, are in a different season of life now than you were when you met and when you started dating, right? And so that doesn't mean it's not possible to feel the way you felt then. It just means it's going to take a little more work, right? And so what we want to talk about today is not the internal forces. We've been talking about last 3 weeks, the internal forces that mess up our order and create the order disorder. Today, we want to talk about the external forces, the things outside of your control that want to come in and disrupt the order of your life. And we call these the order destroyers. They are order destroyers. These are things that are external forces that with all their might try to fight and claw their way to the top of your life. And what happens if we aren't aware of these order destroyers, and if we don't try to watch out for them and be careful for them, they will. They will fight their way to the top. And here's the problem. When they get to the top, they're just as bad a God as other people. It doesn't work. And here's the second thing. When they fight their way to the top, even if you put God number one and they're number two, they're still out of order. Because your spouse should be the most important relationship in your life. And so the things we're going to talk about today, please hear me because we're going to talk about them and somebody's going to go home and say, Trey said this and I didn't say that. They're not bad things. They're not terrible things. What we're going to talk about today, they are great things. They are fantastic things. They are life-changing things. But they're not God and they're not your spouse. That's it. That's all we're saying. They are great blessings from God, but they're not God. And they're not your spouse. And by the sheer nature of their being, what they want to be, they are going to naturally try to claw their way to the top. And it is up to you and your spouse to work together to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, what we're going to do today is a little different. We've been looking at a lot of passages. We've been going through the series. Today, we are going to look at one verse. Just one verse. And it is one verse from a book in the Old Testament called the Song of Solomon. All right, it's also called the Song of Songs. It was written by this guy named King Solomon, and it tells the story of he and his first wife. I say first wife because later on in life, Solomon kind of went crazy and had a bunch of wives, and even the Bible is like, whoa, why did you do that? And so, but this tells the story of Solomon and his first wife, and it really, if you've been around Wellspring, I've actually taught this entire book a couple of times, because it's great, because it really paints a picture of everything we've been talking about. paints a picture of how you got to put God first in your life. It paints a picture of how you've got to commit to each other. It paints a picture of how you've got to woo each other. We see this happening. And it actually, in chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, there's this perfect picture of what we've been talking about last week. It's this perfect picture of Solomon and his wife going out of their way to put each other first, to serve each other, and to attempt to woo each other. Right? They're going crazy. Man, he's complimenting her. She's getting all dressed up for him. He's coming to see her. At one point, he peeps in a window like a stalker. Don't do that. Don't do that part. But so we see this whole thing, right? And it's so great. It looks so unattainable as you read it. And right near the end of chapter 2, it's almost as if Solomon's wife, as she's seeing what's going on, she kind of steps back and she realizes, okay, the way to make this happen is not just to focus on the internal. You've got to be aware of the external forces in your life. You've got to be aware of the order destroyers. And here's what she says. She says, catch all the foxes. That's right. If you've been in our Wellspring, we're talking about foxes today. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Now, this book is written in poetry, right? This is clearly a metaphor. We really do not need to worry about little rodents and critters coming into our foxes rodent. They aren't even rodents, are they? They're felines. Whatever. We don't need to worry about little critters coming in, right? That's not really what she's saying. But let me explain. When this was written, it would have made perfect sense to her, to their audience, because they were in a pretty dry, arid part of the planet, and gardens were kind of a big deal, right? They were an oasis. So if you had a garden, you protected that garden. You would build walls around that garden so that other people couldn't get in and so that other animals couldn't get in and destroy the garden. Well, there were foxes in the area where this story was told, and the foxes, if anybody know about foxes, foxes like to dig. So the foxes would dig under the walls and they would get into the garden. Okay? And so they do two things when they were in the garden. Number one, they would eat all the fruit in the garden, which isn't that big a deal because you can grow more fruit, right? But they'd still eat the fruit. It was kind of a nuisance. But where they really created havoc was that they would dig tunnels underneath the garden. And that tunnel system would interfere with the root system of the garden. So not only would they eat the fruit, they would destroy the root. They would destroy the root system of the garden. And if you weren't careful, they could completely destroy your garden and it would die. It would be completely barren. Now, let's put the pieces together. What God is saying through this text is that your marriage is like a garden. And it takes work, right? You have to, it's like we talked about last week, you have to continue to love each other. You have to continue to show love. You have to pour into each other. And that's you pruning your garden and tending your garden. But you can do that as much as you want. But if there are foxes in your garden, if there are order destroyers that you've allowed to be a part of your life, that you've allowed to get too high a place in your life, that you've allowed too much of a priority system, it doesn't matter how much you woo and how hard you try to serve each other, your marriage is not going to blossom. It's not going to have the fruit you want. It's not going to have the feeling you want. It's not going to have that love that you had before. And you're going to be convinced that something's wrong, that you're wrong, that they're wrong, that you're just not compatible, that you just don't make each other happy anymore. And it simply comes down to today watching out for the order destroyers in your life. Now, notice, she does not say, kill all the foxes. Just say, kill them. She says, catch them. She simply says, keep them under control. Right? And so what we want to do today is we want to get super practical. We want to talk about some of the foxes. We want to talk about some of the order destroyers that we've experienced in our life and that in our, you know, 10 years of ministry, talking to other couples that we've seen with our own eyes can kind of interfere. We want to give you some practical, helpful tips for how to manage the whole thing. But I'll tell you before we get started, God has given two weapons to married couples to combat the order destroyers. All right? He's given us two weapons. The first is communication. Communication is the primary weapon against order destroyers. And it's not communication with you and your mom. It's not communication with you and your friend. It's not communication with you and Facebook. It's communication between you and your spouse. That is the silver bullet. That is the secret weapon to combating the order destroyers. And today we're going to talk about communication. God's given us a second weapon against the order destroyers, and that is what we're going to focus on next Sunday. So don't miss that. We're really excited. But today, I want to focus on communication, how we can communicate with each other, how we can talk with each other, and how we can make sure that these order destroyers do not take over our lives. Okay? You with me? We good? Order destroyers, they mess us all up. And so we kind of have a little something pretty cool planned for you.
We're going to have some
fun today. Hold on, what?
We're going to have some fun today.
You have to speak into the microphone if you want them to hear you.
I said we're going to have some fun today.
You have to do this. So, all right, without further ado, we've got some order destroyers we want to introduce to you. So here is order destroyer number one.
Weighing 24.7 stones, hailing from Everytown, South Carolina, rated as the best pound-for-pound friend of the last decade, with 52 wins, 38 of them by way of knockout. He is the former roommate that never got the hint that it wasn't cool if they sat in the den with you to watch a movie. The current best friend that she told everything to, even the stuff you really wish she hadn't. And the former lightweight champion of the world, the Social Samurai. Samurai. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
Whoa.
But they fought with expert timing.
All right. Welcome to Social Samurai.
Yes, the Social Samurai. I love it. Thank you. Social Samurai, I won't disclose who it is, but we hope that helped you loosen up a little bit. This is fun, but this is also, you know, we really do, we've seen how the Social Samurai can be very damaging and destructive to the root system, to your marriage. And what Trey was talking about, communication, that's really our hope today as we highlight these, is just that we can get you talking to one another, because if you're not communicating with each other about any of these, then you're isolating. If you're not communicating, you're pushing the other person away.
And you guys catch that? That rhymed. If you're not communicating, you're isolating.
Yes, it's true.
If it rhymes, it's divine. Write it down.
Yes, so if you're not communicating, you're isolating. And I don't know about you, but when I feel very isolated, especially from Trey, I just feel like I'm on an island, like I'm all alone. And that happened to me a lot when I stayed home with our children every day. And he would come home, and guess who was public enemy number one because of how I felt him. Only I wouldn't talk about it. I wouldn't communicate. I'd continue to isolate myself. And that can be so dangerous. And I really do think of it like an island. Like I think of Tom Hanks, you know, on Castaway.
Castaway.
Yes, on Castaway. Well, he was so desperate to not feel isolated, he talked to a volleyball for years, right? For that search for communication, for that connection. And that's where I feel like the Social Samurai comes in. We don't do this out of trying to ignore our spouse all the time. It comes from you guys or from us not communicating with one another and feeling isolated.
It's okay. She said you guys. She meant guys. Because we tend to struggle with this more. That's okay. You can blame it on us. We'll take it.
Yeah, but girls, I don't know. I'm going to call us out because I'm a stuffer. I'm a stuffer. I'll keep it in, keep it in, keep it in, and then pop. And I'm telling you, that isolation is where the tension brews. Am I right? I mean, it's like a tornado in there, and it's just waiting for the right time to just go, bah! So I don't know if I'm the only girl that's like that, but that's certainly how I operate.
You're not.
Okay. So that isolation, it's where the tension brews. And I feel like that's when we start looking for connection anywhere. You'll go to any social circle for that to happen. If you're not communicating to one another, that's how this is kind of born. I mean, there's some of us who may bring it into the marriage, you know, like, oh, the roommate who doesn't know how to, you know, leave you alone, or the friend who would need you all the time. But you have to make that gradual move while you're dating to you being a team when you're married. And that's, I feel like that's how the social samurai is born, how it can become a threat in our relationships. So I kind of have a few questions that if you love to bring notebooks, which, by the way, bring a notebook. I write down so much that God uses during the week through his messages that I already know what they are, and to go back and read over it. But I'm going to ask you a few questions. Write these down, and I would love for you to kind of visit them over the week. Pray about them, and be honest with your answers. So number one is your spouse your best friend? And if they are, that's awesome. And if they're not, I'm going to follow it up with another question. Do you do anything to try to bridge that gap? Do you do anything to try to make the communication between the two of you better? Or do you continue to isolate him and isolate yourself? Because your spouse that is your best friend, oh, God, it's so beautiful. It's a beautiful thing because it takes care of that connection, and it keeps God's best order for your life. You know, I think one of the things that happens if your spouse isn't your best friend and you continue to isolate them is, I feel like I'm calling out the girls, but guys, you know, if you might deal with this as well, but you kind of just hold it all in, and then you run to whoever you connect with to vent, right? And this is the same thing as an emotional affair. I know that sounds harsh, but it is, because you're connecting with your friends in a way that you really should be able to communicate and connect with your spouse.
Okay, hold on. I want to make sure everybody caught that.
Yes.
I want you to make sure you heard what she said. If there is another person, opposite sex or same sex, in your life that you run to get the intimacy and to get the things that God intends you to get from your spouse, there's a person you run to constantly complain about your spouse. If there's a person you take the problems to, you should take to your spouse. If there's a person you take the troubles of life to before you take them to your spouse, you are having what?
Social samurai? No. Oh, an emotional affair.
An emotional
I'm so sorry.
Affair.
It has been a long week. You're having an emotional affair. Thank you. Sorry.
Man, can you believe she did that? Don't tell anybody. I just want to talk about my wife for a minute. Can you believe? I'm just kidding. But I want you to hear that, guy. I want you to hear it. This is funny. We're all being light, but I'm telling you, this will destroy your marriage. Mm-hmm. It is an order destroyer. Are we saying don't have friends? Absolutely not. Hope God's blessed you with friends. But your best friend should be your spouse. And if you sit here today and you say, well, but they're not. Well, good. You got, what, 30 years left to fix it? 20? Maybe 10? I don't know. But make it, you know, start today to change it. Just don't settle for this. Begin today to catch all the foxes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, that's good. And I could go on about this too, but make sure that, you know, if you do have a problem, you go to the right friend. The right friend won't bash your spouse and continue to build up that isolation and the tensions brewing while you're not talking to them. Talk to each other.
Let me help. Let me throw this in. If you're wondering, hey, who are my friends? You know? Don't think about what you think. Don't think about what you wish. Look at your calendar. Mm-hmm. Who controls your calendar? Who's on the calendar? Who gets top priority? When a phone call comes and that roommate who's cray-cray, and she's been crazy since you known her, and she's been having the same problem since you known her, and it's always an emergency. You know what? She can deal with it on her own tonight. Sorry. They don't like that. I hurt their feelings, I guess.
No, and it's true, because you know what? You can't be Jesus to her. You can't. You can't be her God, but you can be the best spouse possible. So that is actually number two, is does your Do your friends, your calendar, your kids' calendar, does all of that come before the needs of your spouse? And I know this is so hard because culture really cues us that everyone else is important. And if you're not doing these things, you're not being the best mom, or you're not being the best friend, or you're not being loyal. But God's best order really is Him, and then your spouse, and then your family, your kids, your friends after that.
Let me help you. No one else can play your role in God's story. No one else can be your spouse's spouse. Somebody else can be your friend's friend. No one else can be your spouse's spouse but you. All right. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to skip through a little bit because we're going to run out of time.
I know. We are definitely going to run out of time.
I talk too much. But make sure you're communicating, not isolating. Don't run to the wrong people. Talk to your spouse first. You know what, Ashley? Really where it breaks down for me, talk to God first. I know that seems so simple. Yesterday, we got into a fight in the car.
We did. This isn't a joke. We got in a fight yesterday.
Yeah, we really did. I was trying so hard to power through it on my own and think, gosh, what am I doing wrong here? How did I say this to hurt his feelings? And plain and simple, I didn't invite God into the moment to help me communicate well how I was feeling or to understand how he was feeling. Invite God in first. Then talk to your spouse. And the last question for Social Samurai, because it's mobile, is do you turn to social media to escape the tension that's brewing from your isolation from your spouse? Do not fall into that pit of virtual connection, because you're going to look for it anywhere. And I'm not saying it's not a good place to kind of know. You know, we use social media here, but it is not a replacement for your real relationships. And I feel like so many times we turn to it to just kind of ignore and numb the fact that there's an isolation problem, a communication problem going on, and that is just an easy 24/7 access for us, and it can cause a lot of damage. So make sure you communicate and don't isolate.
Here's kind of a helpful tip, and then we'll move on to the next one. You and your spouse work together. You communicate to determine your friend's access to your life. Just think about that. She determines my friend's access to our life. I don't. She does. You know why? Because my Bible says I'm supposed to submit to her, which means she wins. So she determines my friend's access to my life. I determine, well, no, I really don't, but she determines my friend's access to my life. And that's okay. I'm happy with that.
We don't have a ton of friends right now.
Quit. We have plenty of friends.
We have friends, but we don't get to do a lot of social stuff right now because of our,
people are going to be asking us to do stuff now. We have plenty of friends. We have so many friends.
I mean,
we are great.
We would rather be home on our
We have so many friends.
With each other, so
okay.
Anyway.
So the social samurai, again, you just have to communicate with each other, and this is going to take some painful conversations over the next week. I'm not going to lie, because you're going to have to talk about that friend. And men, ladies, you can't be defensive about it, because your spouse determines your friend's access to your life. And you are called to submit in that moment. So have the honest conversation. All right, that's the social samurai. Here is the order destroyer, number two.
Weighing 36.5 stone, hailing from Corporate City, South Carolina, rated as the primary ore destroyer with 99 wins, 90 of them coming by way of knockout, and only one defeat. He is currently ranked the number one depletion of time and energy, and the current heavyweight champion of the world, the Caped Career Crusader.
All right, Cruz. Sorry, man. Yeah. It's an important call. Thank you. Now, for most marriages, this is the first one that really begins to really cause some destruction, right? Because, you know, like we said, we met in college. Most of you, I'm assuming when you met, maybe you weren't working as much as you're working now, or maybe you were working a job, not a career, and there is a humongous difference. I've had a lot of jobs. I've only had one career, and this is it, right? When I was, pulling files in a filing warehouse in Florence, South Carolina, there was no distraction in that job. I did not take that home with me, right? But what tends to happen is, as you get married and you begin to work and you begin to have a career, let me side note here. If you are a stay-at-home mother, you have a career, all right? And it is one I would never pick. So, but you begin to have a career and you begin to work. And what happens is you begin to experience a little success in your career. And it starts to feel good. And as you have more success, you have to start working more. And so more and more of your time, more and more of your energy, more and more of your brain power, more and more of everything that you used to be specifically and solely devoted to your spouse, you begin to devote to other things, like a career, which is fine. It is great to have a career. But what happens is we aren't aware of it. We never take into account that we are spending less time and energy on our spouse and more time and energy on our career. And for many, if not most of us, the career, because it is an order destroyer, because it wants to climb its way up in your life, quickly takes the place of your spouse and in some ways the place of God in your life. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you, have you ever had this thought, if I just get this job, if I just close this deal, if I just, then it will be okay. If you ever have a thought, if I can just, and it ends with, it will be okay, and the answer isn't, please God more, you have a God in your life. It's just the way it is. And for many of us, this happens with our careers. You know, maybe the first year of marriage, you were so sweet to each other, and you loved each other, and you'd write each other little notes and things like that. And then by year two and three, you're both too busy. You quit writing the notes. You don't think anything about it. It was just a note. But no, what that note was that was you putting in effort. That was you putting in energy into your marriage. That was strengthening the roots of your marriage. And it was producing the fruit. It was keeping the feelings alive. And the notes went away because you don't have the time, because the career's taken higher priority. And then you wonder where the fruit's gone. You wonder, well, we don't have the spark we used to have. We don't feel like we used to have. Why is that? And it's because the caped career crusader has inched its way up in your life. Let me put it to you this way. This is a question I want you to wrestle with. When something comes up at work, okay? When something comes up at work and you're going to have to stay longer, do you call and get your spouse's permission? Or do you say yes to your boss and hope you can work it over with your spouse? Who are you more concerned with letting down, your boss or your spouse? See, that's easy for us because she is my spouse and I am her boss. It's what you call a win-win. But honest question. Who are you more concerned with letting down? Now, hear me. Am I saying you shouldn't have a career? Of course not. What I'm saying, just like we said with the social samurai, she determines your access to my life. This is my job. And I love it. I love being your pastor. I love leading this church. But at the end of the day, she determines this church's access to my life. She does. And I'm the same for her. Because my Bible says I'm called to submit to her, not to you. Not in the same way. And so only you and your spouse can wrestle with how that works, because some of you have created situations you can't undo overnight. But let me help you out. I'm going to be a little sexist here, but this is normally men disappointing their wives, right? Men, let me just tell you, when you have to work late, a simple phone call, just letting her know, explaining the situation, saying you're sorry, and asking how you can help when you get home, would make all the difference. Do you know why? Because you're communicating. Because what happens, what the Cape Career Crusader does is they work their way up, and it becomes you and your career versus your spouse. They try to, it teams up with you against her. And anything that wants you to go against your spouse has too high of a place in your life. Period. It's not going to work. So you got to wrestle with that. You guys know what I'm talking about. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Where does your career rank in your life? And if it gets more a higher place than God, which means it gives you meaning and purpose and satisfaction, all that kind of stuff, it's great to have a job you love. I love being this pastor. I love being pastor of this church. It does not give me meaning and purpose in my life. God gives me meaning and purpose in my life. And my meaning and purpose is to be the pastor of this church. But if we have a great Sunday or we have a terrible Sunday, I feel the same about myself because God is the one who determines that, not this church. Not if you close the deal or not. Not if you got the promotion or not. But it's an order destroyer. It wants to work its way up. And the only way you keep it down is you and your spouse working together as a team using that weapon of communication. Open communication with each other about what is happening. All right? So that's your challenge for the Cape Crew Crusader. Now, we have one more. And this one's going to be the toughest to talk about because this one is the cutest. This one is the sweetest. This one is the most cuddly order destroyer ever known. Here they are, order destroyer number 3.
Weighing a combined 365 pounds, hailing from your town, South Carolina.
The Offspring Offensive.
And to give you a little picture into our life, the one that was leading that whole pack was our oldest. And we have 3 boys, so there you go. The one who was screaming so loud, that was him. So the Offspring Offensive, and I'm going to take this one because I so understand this pull on our hearts, right, parents? I mean, gosh, I never knew I could love somebody as much. I mean, I do. I love him. But that natural love, the first time I saw each one of our kids was just like overwhelming, you know? And now that they are 9, 7, and 4, I understand why it's so natural. Because if it were based on their actions, it wouldn't be good, right? And it's such a great picture of how God loves us, right? I mean, he's our Heavenly Father. You've heard him called that. It's that great picture where it's unconditional. It is natural. You love your kids. But where the confusion sets in a lot of times, I think, is that natural love for your kids and the chosen love for your spouse. You choose who your spouse is. Singles, think about that. When you're dating, you choose who they are, and you also choose to love them.
Choose wisely.
Yes, choose wisely. But you choose to
be
love
picky.
Them.
Ignore your grandma. Be picky. Picky, picky, picky.
Very picky. Very. Don't settle. But you choose your spouse. You choose to love them. And you choose that covenant love that Trey talked about a few weeks ago. You have to choose that. And it's different than your love for your kids. And acknowledging that will set you free in so many
ways.
It's
not going to feel the same.
It's not.
It's just not. So quit trying to make it feel the same. It's not. It'd be creepy if it did, right?
It's not going to feel the same. And here's one of the ways that I think we have found to always keep that in check for us. For one, is that we are a team. Our kids see us as one. But we also try to remember what our job is as parents, right? I mean, all throughout the Bible, it talks about how to raise your kids, the best order, the best for what God wants for your children. And the way I see it laid out is in Deuteronomy 6, you teach them, right? In Proverbs 22, you train them. And then in Genesis 2, you let them leave. So your children.
I got to raise my hand to God on that one. Can I get a witness? We're going to go Pentecostal today. Amen. They leave. In the name of Jesus, let them leave.
Seriously, y'all just, I wish you could be a fly on the wall in our house sometimes. But, okay, so you teach them, you train them, and then they leave. And here's the important thing. Your children leave, and your spouse stays. So yep. You need to think, and my kids always talk about this, they learn this at school, but begin with the end in mind. So if you're making sure you're investing in your relationships in your life in the best order that God has, begin with the end in mind. Your children leave, and your spouse stays. We intentionally try to parent with the thought that we are raising responsible adults who will one day leave. They don't complete me as a mom. They don't show who I am to the world, what kind of mom I am by who they are. We're trying to raise them to love God and to be responsible people who one day leave and do amazing things for Him.
That's we actually have the suitcases by the door. That we show. This is your suitcase for when you leave. You determine how quickly that is.
Yes, and so, oh my God.
That is a great idea.
No.
Suitcases by the door.
And this is why it's great to have a spouse. If you're like, oh, I don't feel like I can communicate to them. We're so opposite. That's good. Be a team. Team up. Do your job to teach and train with love and grace and showing your kids the gospel in everything that you do, and then let them leave to be amazing adults.
And let me say this. It's better for them. Mm-hmm. Come on. You all have kids. If you have kids and you've seen friends and come over, we've all been around, like, the kids who's clearly the center of their parents' universe. Those are the worst kids in the world, right? They're all self-centered, and you want to give them a suitcase. So, like, it is so much better for them. It is so much better for them to model for them God's design for marriage and God's design for family. And here's the thing. When she's number one or number two in my life behind God, when I'm pouring into her and she's pouring into me, and in the metaphor we're talking about today, we're protecting our garden and it's growing. Guess what? That means there's enough fruit for everybody. That means when our marriage is great, our kids feel loved. Mm-hmm. They feel safe. They feel secure. But they also understand, hey, their relationship is different than my relationship. And they love me. But I understand one day I'm going to look for and try to have a marriage and relationship like that. So you're modeling for them God's best. And so I hope you've noticed, as we talked about all of these order destroyers, right? The goal is not to get rid of them. The goal is not to push them out of your life. The goal is to simply, as a team, communicate, as a team, work together and talk about it, and make sure that you two are handling it together, that you're managing your friends, that you're managing your career, and that even you're managing your kids to make sure they never get too high of a place, too high of a priority in your life, because they are blessings from God. They are great things, but they are terrible gods and they are terrible spouses. And as long as you keep those two things in perspective, I believe we can do what Solomon's wife told us. We can catch the foxes, we can control them, and our garden can grow. And I promise, if you go home this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go fox hunting, okay? I want you to have a conversation with your spouse. I want you to communicate and talk about it. And some of you may say, we don't really struggle with those things. You know what the biggest fox is in your marriage? It's what you fight about the most. What do you fight about the most? Well, that means there's something going on you're not communicating about. There's something going on that's getting too high a priority, and you want more, and they want less, and so you've got to sit down and communicate with it. You know what would be a great time to do that? This Friday night when we give you a date night, or if from your children for 3.5 hours, you're welcome. Right? Just sit in your car, but don't get caught. And if you do, don't say I said it. But that's your challenge for this week, right? We want you to go home and have a conversation. And here's the thing. You can't have the conversation on the car ride home. You got to put the kids to bed. You got to turn the TV off. You got to silence the cell phones. You can't be looking through Facebook while you talk about it. Like, you got to put it all down, look each other in the eyeballs. We used to do that. And talk. And lay down your weapons. No defenses. You know why? Because my Bible says we're called to submit. And so if there's something bothering our spouse, it's our job to submit and to at least hear what they have to say and to hear them out and for them to hear you out and begin to communicate with each other about it. Now, I know some of you are saying, Trey, that sounds difficult. That sounds hard. That's why we're going to close this series out next week. with the second gift that God gave to married couples. And it is a gift he only gave to married couples. And it is a fantastic gift, right? So do not miss it. Come back next week because it completes the entire circle. And it shows God's perfect design for marriage and how he's so smart and how when we do things his way, we achieve his absolute best for us, for our spouses, and for our kids. So go fox hunting this week. Come back next week and we'll talk about that second weapon God's given us to help us fight off these order destroyers, the social samurai, the Cape Career Crusader, and yes, even the offspring offensive. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much. We thank you just for that we can have a good time, Father, we can learn about you. But God, I pray for the practicality of this message that it'll sink into our hearts. I pray that we will understand that there are external forces in our life and in our marriage that are trying to claw their way to the top, that are feeding into our order disorder. Lord, I pray that through your help, we will leave here with clarity today, that you are to be number one, that our spouse is to be number two. And these three areas of our life, our friends and our career and our kids, Father, that we will learn how to team up with our spouse, to manage them, to keep them in their proper order so they can be the blessings they should be. And remind us when they climb too high, they stop being blessings, they start being burdens, Father. So may we keep you first, our spouse second, and these things third. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.